Well, this is good. I'm glad to be here. I taught the same seminar, and it was at Emmanuel at a different conference, the Beholden conference, about 6 months ago. And I came in the dorm like, oh, I wonder where they're going to sit. I was in the same room. So this is like I'm just getting typecast for this. I love it. It was like beautiful. So glad to have you guys here today. And I think it's an important topic. We're talking about rehearsals, which sometimes can, seem like the lesser brother of the main services, et cetera. But I think it's important for us to talk about. And I hope we will have an opportunity to talk as we get throughout the session and then at the end, certainly. So a bit of an introduction. My name is Matt. Hey, Kevin did a good job introduction. I'm up at Faith Baptist Church in Huntsville. I've been there 18 years. Started in 2006. This is my family. This is my wife, Christina, my daughter, Madison. She's in first year, just finished first year University at Redeemer. And my son, Malachi, he is in grade 11. And so we're in Huntsville ministering there. And like with many other worship pastor roles, usually there's something else that gets tagged on there. So I was pastor of worship and small groups for the first 6 years. And then for the remainder, it's been worship and communications. And so that's been many times in worship and creative arts, right? Usually there's creativity that's put all together, so that makes sense. I also have the privilege, along with my friend Eric, of founding Worship Under the Stars, and Hannah. Hannah's here. And Hannah, you're like, wait, boom. Didn't know Hannah was going to be in the session today, but there she is. So Worship Under the Stars is a ministry that seeks to encourage the Canadian church towards unity through worship. And so we've had an amazing connection between the worship leaders in Huntsville and Muskoka towards that. Had some worship nights, had one in February. Worship of the Stars has been an annual one. It's something that we love to see. It's happening elsewhere. It happens in Barrie, but some places it's not happening. We're beginning to learn that what we're seeing in Huntsville is a bit more of an anomaly than what is expected in terms of partnership between churches. So it's something I'd love to encourage you to certainly chat to me about that if you'd like afterwards. Attendance. Am I supposed to count or you count? Or you'll count. He's going to secretly count. Right. Yes, that's good.
I went into.
I wrote it down here. Make sure.
Wasn't good enough.
No, it's okay. They said make sure there's an attendance. So, but the question is today, why rehearsals? And you signed up for it, so hopefully there was a reason why that kind of triggered in your heart. And I've got two big reasons. You've probably got a lot of other ones. The first one I have here is that healthy rehearsals support healthy worship services. I think this all starts with understanding the why of your worship services. What's the underlying why behind why you come together and gather in person or online or whatever format to worship on Sundays? And so, as an example, at Faith in Huntsville, we want to create with excellence distraction-free worship services that focus people's hearts and minds on God. So we're not chasing perfection. So rehearsals, understand the why of services, it's not towards perfection, but it is towards excellence. And that might look different in different contexts. Distraction-free, that can look, might be similar in some different contexts, but those are just some reasons. So understand the why of your service, if you haven't taken time just to think about it, that helps structure as to why rehearsals. The second reason about why we're going to talk about rehearsals is that healthy rehearsals nurture and maintain your desired team culture. And a lot of this session, I'll talk about worship and production. In my context, I lead both teams, although there's a lead production person. I lead both of those. And you guys know, if we'll talk a little bit later about who's who here, but worship and production, like, they're dancing together, right? Like, it's quite often, these are like sibling ministries, I'd say, in many contexts. So if you're seeking to have a healthy team culture in worship and production, then healthy rehearsals, I'd say, are structurally required in order to have that. These teams are linked. So there are characteristics. And it doesn't matter if you've painted these on your walls or you have T-shirts that have it on it or things you give to new team members. There are characteristics describing words that currently describe your team culture. Some of those words you might not be terribly excited about, right? So if you have patterns of people who are always late, whether it's rehearsal, whether that's getting stuff to you, blockout dates, whether that's coming in on Sunday morning for a sound check, one of the describers of your team, if someone was looking in, is tardiness. And you're like, well, I'm not going to paint that on a wall. But if that's a describer and you don't want to be a describer, then rehearsals can help you start to massage and nurture away from that. And more so, I'd say that there are describers, that, again, if you take the time and write them down, that you'd want to go towards. Community. On time. Maybe that is one. You want to be on time. Caring. Excellent. And then you have the discussion of perfection and excellent. For the other. You could pick up a bunch of describers that you would want someone who would come into your church and just view your team for a while and would give you to describe your team. This is what you'd love them to describe it as. And healthy rehearsals can help you point towards that. When I started at Faith, again, 18 years ago, it's crazy. I served on team at Faith before. And there's an awesome lady who was the worship pastor ahead of me. And she, I was at NBC and I was kind of in my role. I was kind of like, I think I might be done in my role here at NBC. And does that mean we have to move? And we love Muskoka. And I'm like, And this lady was at Faith, and I'm like, well, she's not leaving. She's like junior nominated. She's amazing and a worship pastor. She's going to continue at this. And it turned out she ended up staying at the church, but decided she wanted to go into something completely different. It opened up an opportunity for me to come. But when I came, the rhythm there was that rehearsals that were Sunday, like there was no rehearsal. So it was like at the beginning of a season, you get a batch of songs that were the new songs, and you worked. The personal practice time was like up here because there wasn't the time together working on it. What that led to is on a Sunday morning, there'd be people gathered, like the vocalists, I can remember, around the piano learning their parts like 5 minutes before the service started. That was typical. That was normal. And so the other side of it was when they came in, we had two worship services. And if any of you have this, then maybe there's a reason. But we had two worship services, but that meant we had two worship teams. So there was a first service team and a second service team. So much so that when I introduced Thursday night rehearsals, when we happened to do it, we actually, for a while, I was like, okay, let's hold this for a bit. I had two rehearsals, so I was there for like 3 hours. And people went, they served when they went to church. And as a team culture thing, that's definitely not a for the other thing, right? It's like, I'll serve when I'm available. They weren't saying that out loud. And they certainly, if you ask them, they're like, no. But it took time to transition. So for me, adding rehearsals became essential. So just an overview of what we're doing. So I'm going to chat for 45 minutes and have some Q&A. And we'll chat throughout. Some questions will pop up. It says 10 tips for a great rehearsal. There's 12. 10, 10 sounds better than 12. So there's two extras, they're bonus. And then there's a little thing called, let's talk about Sunday morning, which is the middle ground between rehearsal and the service. And then certainly as we finish up, we'll have that Q&A time. I find at these conferences, the best, the big sessions are awesome. The times of worship are awesome. The seminars are great. That's awesome. Especially this one. It's awesome. I'm sure you've had this. Maybe you had it at this conference already. You bump into somebody who, or you meet someone who's a worship pastor in the same role as you, 300 kilometers away. And as you're talking, maybe it's over lunch, you realize, oh, you have the same things. Or you're experiencing that too. And you may get an answer to a problem, or you might just be able to stand next to a brother and sister who's like able to say, me too. I'm there. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know. And you can reach out. So many times following conferences, I'm able to reach out because somebody talked about, they were living and loving ProPresenter, and I'm like, I'm stuck on what to do with, and I'm able to reach out to somebody that I met at a conference. So I hope the Q&A times and the connection times, are an encouragement to you guys. So let's get started here. So again, 10 tips. It's really 12, but we're going to lean into this. Here we go. First one is for leaders. The leaders in the room. Let me just double check here. Yeah, the leaders in the room is this. It's very simple. Be prepared. Okay? This is, again, right now I'm talking to people who are leading the service, are leading teams, are leading rehearsals. In order to have a great rehearsal or a great rehearsal culture, and ultimately I'd say this preparation could be one of your words that describes your team, I hope, You need to be prepared. And this is for your own sanity. It's for the sanity of your team members, the people you work for, It's for the sanity of the production team members. Getting your songs selected and service orders set with sufficient time for you and your team to properly prepare is essential. I remember going to conferences at Willow, or Willow would be up here doing, and they'd be like, hey, you know, Creative Arts, and they'd be like, hey, we're like 6 weeks out, and fully everything's known. We know if someone's going to, what mic they're going to use for that announcement. And the, you know, 6 weeks out, and I'm like, oh, and I felt like a failure, like horribly. It doesn't have to be 6 weeks out. I'm just, find a rhythm that gives your team enough, and it's probably based on how often is your team on. My team's on every 3 weeks, so I try to get them content that they've got more than that week to work on things. Okay, but so be prepared. Who are the leaders here today? Like who's like in a lead worship role at your church, or you're a worship leader? Awesome, very cool. That's a lot. This is the lion's share. That's great. So when I'm talking, that's good, because when I talk about those who are on teams, you can just take it home and say, he told us to tell you that you should. you can blame it. you guys probably have great systems in place. But here's a quick overview of how things look right now where I'm at. So schedule-wise, and I had to check myself yesterday because I'm like, if I'm going to say this, I got to make sure that it's accurate. Aside from vocalists, we're ready through till the end of June in terms of the rotation. We rotate on, it was about 21 members on the team. There's a 3-week rotation, and the challenge with vocalists right now is that a bunch came home from school. So that means the challenge then for us is that in September, off they go to college again, and it changes. But right now, I actually sent a note last week going, if anybody wants to take a pause through the summer, I've never sent this note before, anybody on vocals wants to take a pause, you're welcome to. So I haven't finalized the vocal rotation, but I'm grateful for that. So right now, at least they can look ahead, and that means they've got it blocked out. And if they haven't, then they have to come and tell me that they didn't block it, right? It all works together. On Mondays, I aim to get the song selected for 2 Sundays out. So Mondays are pretty quiet at Faith. Most of the team, staff-wise, take the day off. So I try to, on that day, look ahead, certainly to the next Sunday, but to two Sundays away. And that's been very helpful for me. It helps get everything ready so that the team who's 2 weeks away can open up their planning center, and whatever you guys use, and they know the songs, they know the keys, they know who's leading it, they know the arrangement, basic stuff like that. Later on, we'll talk about tools, so other tools are prepped to also support them by that time. We have a new lead pastor at Faith, Nate Pfeiffer. So I've added, as part of that change, we've now got a service planning meeting. Maybe you guys already have a service planning between your worship and lead. So on Wednesdays, not today, but on Wednesdays, him and I sit down and we look 2 weeks out as well right now. That's our rhythm. We have, preaching-wise, we've got months and months, but we have two weeks out. And the preaching calendar is helpful because we have the scripture that is being taught, the message, obviously the series, and then also as we get closer, a main thought. It may be a thought that never goes really public, but it's like, here's where I'm kind of going. It's that big idea kind of idea, okay? In my context, again, I mentioned it, but we set up in a planning center. A lot of people use this maturity planning center. What elder options are out there for? Who else? Are there other tools anyway?
Breeze is another one.
Breeze, yeah.
There's not a lot.
As good as planning. Yeah, I know. And Subsplash called me, and I had a meeting with Subsplash. They've got something called Subsplash One. They probably called all you guys asking, do you want to buy an app, a few years ago. Now they've got a full solution for. They're trying to get Planning Center compete with them. I'll tell you this. They priced out, I'll save you the conversation, they priced out cheaper than Planning Center, but my brain melts at thinking of transitioning between those two. And I like being able to reach out, like I'd love to call Lee and be like, hey, in Planning Center, this is driving me nuts, can I ask you a question about it? As opposed to no one else using Subsplash One, it's just me against the... So anyways, we use Planning Center. We also use loopcommunity.com. So we do run tracks on most Sundays, on most songs, track clicks on everything. But because of that, we have the Prime app. There's multi-tracks out there. There may be others. Multi-tracks and Loop Community are the big ones. That means that when I set my songs, I also set up the track set list for them, and I share the team on that, so that my bass player, for 2 weeks away, can open up his app on his phone, go to that date, May 12th, and download not just the order of the songs, but also the tracks that he can rehearse against, practice against, I should say.
Can you just run that back again?
Sure. Yeah. So we play the supportive tracks. Do you guys understand with that? Yeah.
And during your service?
During the service, backing tracks. Yeah.
With cues as well. Or
cues. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then what we provide then to the whole team, we have something. Prime has a tool that you can pay for that.
Amazon Prime.
No, sorry. Yeah, Loop Community. Yeah, Loop Community's app is called Prime. I know. Trust me. Loop Community's app is called Prime. Now, I'll just go with Loop Community. Loop Community has a thing called Prime Teams, and we can have all of our team members as Prime team members. They open up their phone, they log in as themselves onto their phone, onto that app, and because I've added them to that set list, they can download those songs to practice.
And does it integrate with Playing Center?
Yes, I can. The multi-tracks is better with it. Actually, I don't know. I'm not sure if Prime does. Multitrax does, yeah.
Multitrax is like this.
The competitor, yeah, yeah.
I noticed that CCLI is also offering now a worship tools.
Same thing.
Yeah. Which integrates Loop Community and all of this together as well. That'd
be beautiful.
Yeah.
Because usually it's like. Yeah.
So.
No, I know. Yeah. And usually when you get a new song, all of a sudden it's a dance between. You know, you're like, you're listening on Loop, and usually Loop has it. Multitracks has more master tracks. They say they have more relationships with the artists and the publishers. And then you're looking for chord charts or whatever that match up with. So you're on Song Select, or you're over at Praise Charts, for example.
We're using that one, and I personally prefer Planning Center. Planning
Center's
better. I like it better.
For the
CCLI.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they're all trying. Everyone wants a piece of the pie, right? Right now, Planning Center has the lion's share. So
well,
it's a good place
really
to be.
Great support and stuff, too,
yeah,
right?
Like yeah. No, it's true.
And it's a straightforward system, too. So.
Yeah. So the week of somebody being on, this is still under Be Prepared, I update a Spotify playlist. It's called This Sunday. So the songs, that's for the worship team, but also I'd say for me, I know there's front of house guys who are listening to the music before they mix. That's just so important. It's like, what, you know, what's the song? They may be familiar, but it just reminds them, what's the bridge? What's the feature instrument on this? So it's like, oh, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, piano, right? Or this is Amazing Grace, electric guitar. Like, just kind of reminds them of the sequence in the song and how it flows. And it's free to do that. The day before or the day of rehearsal, I get the orders of service ready, chord charts, photocopy them. I know, like, some team members bring their own iPad. I know they could print their own stuff. This is one spot where I'm like, I'll print off music. Front row, we try to clear off music stands so vocalists, etc. I do have an iPad right now that I'm using and liking, but we do have music stands in the back. So chord charts are ready for them, or they use their iPad. And we do use chord charts. So I used to use lead sheets. When I first started, I liked lead sheets because my heart, like I started, I'm a piano player first before guitar. And so I just liked having that lead line and knowing where it was going when I was playing piano. And I thought it was really important to help the band have some musicality understanding when they're reading a form of sheet music. And so we did that as a teaching thing. As we moved along, it just got nice and tidy to put chords on just one sheet. And easier for the team, therefore helping them be prepared a lot easier. Day of rehearsal, we get the stage ready. Again, this is all under preparation. If your team members are coming in and the stage isn't ready, I like to be done, the stage done, lights on, some nice low house music going so that they can come in, they can tune their guitar and not be interfered by like Phil Wickham screaming on the mains. You know, it's kind of a welcoming space for them to come in and it looks like you were expecting them, which you were, right? So that's all under Be Prepared. You guys might have a different pattern. That's totally great. What I want to underline is that the leader's preparation before the rehearsal, such as knowing the songs, you know, communicating the instrument, the vocal part mapping, being well prepared, will inspire confidence and honestly, effectively guide your team. And I know that your timing in setting up the service is impacted by other factors, like your teaching, the rhythms of when you know what's being taught. That's a huge one. I've found that the rhythms have changed over the years based on who was leading, who was teaching. I found that even a single song that's well placed that supports that scripture for this week, and remaining songs that point to God and say this is who He is in truth. You know, this is why we come to worship Him. It reminds and that truly, like looking at one another, come let us enter into the house of the Lord. Like those services, you know, even though you may have only found out a week ago what the message was going to be, those services can be the most effective as you steward that. So the second tip here is for team members who are not the lead. Okay, we're all worship leaders, but they're not the person who's, you know, planning the songs, getting things ready. And their tip is also be prepared. Now, this, honestly, I wish this guy was on my team. Because, like, wow, he's got it all. I'm pretty sure they brought somebody from Central Casting and said, this is how you hold this. Put this on your fingers. So for those in the room who are in this position.
Santa Claus.
It is. It's like future Santa. Yeah. Come prepared for rehearsals. So rehearsals are not the time for you to find out what the songs are. Oh. And honestly, I think we've all had it where people come in, they're like, what are we doing this week? It's like, don't even ask me. At least lie to me or something. and what your part is for those songs. So if someone comes, I get the electric guitarist, they'll come in and you can hear them in the rehearsal. Like, you're like, this is Amazing Grace, man. Like, this is low-hanging fruit for an electric guitarist or whatever, Battle Belongs. Like, it's like, just know your part. Maybe make it evident, like, you're working on it still, but, like, know your part. So let me encourage you just to come prepared to rehearsals. Now, I saw the line share go up. Who's on worship teams, but they're not the leader, perhaps? Awesome. And thank you to you guys. As I said, I served on the team at Faith before I went to lead it. And my friend Jeremy Norton and I was a rogue guitarist, like I didn't know how to play guitar, but I would stand with Jeremy, the two of us off to the left. They kind of put us, maybe that's why they put us way up over there, and we'd be playing guitar, and we got to an F chord. I'd like fake it because I'd like kind of hold it there, maybe lean it a bit more. I did not know how to play it, but thank you guys for everything you're doing. And again, as I said before, everybody, I tell my team this, like everybody on the platform is the leader when it comes to leading our church family in worship. But coming prepared will look different for different roles. So take time to familiarize yourself with the songs. Learn your individual parts. When I'm playing keys for somebody else, maybe I'm at a conference or something, I like to, like, I'll be like, what arrangement are we doing of that song? Oh, we're doing so-and-so song. Okay, that's cool. And then I listen to it, and I'm listening for what the piano parts are. Is there something that when I come to sound check, because maybe there's no rehearsal for a conference, so I come to sound check, that I know what the, I know that little lick for the piano. I'm ready for it, and maybe I'm familiar with it to move it up or down a key as well, in case without using the modulated key, transpose key, just to support the worship leader that I get to serve with. So be prepared. Knowing your role in a band has as much to do with knowing what isn't your part as it does with knowing what is your part. Okay? This will maximize the productivity of the rehearsal and allow for more focus on refining the songs and service as a whole. So never walk in, please, never walk in with the iPhone up to your ear. It's not funny, it's bad. It's like sometimes, again, in rehearsal, I'll hear the song we're playing in my ears, and I'm like, who is that? And I'll look over to the drums, and they'll be in there listening to the song. Now, maybe they're cramming at the, like, I get you. We're double-checking what that part was. But, like, yeah, just know the songs ahead of time. Set aside time in the days before rehearsal to prepare. And if you don't get the music early enough from your team leader, ask if you can. That might encourage them that someone is actually, they'll be like, wow, you guys are practicing ahead of time? I can get the music ready a few days earlier, right? I didn't add these two things as separate tips, but when it's time for the actual rehearsal, do your team leader a favor, like no noodling, right? So drums, electric guitar, limit side talk, vocals, you know, sometimes there's like, you know, you got to turn to each other and go like, you're doing the high part, am I doing, so I'll do low, or are we going to mirror on that part, or are we going to go melody? But the side, too much side chatter, and the worship leader can kind of start feeling like, am I here? Am I leading? Am I, you know, and noodling, and I'll, let's be, usually it's drums and electric guitar, from my experience. It's like always electric guitar and the drums. Like, what you can't focus. Like, so anyways, that's another bonus there for you guys. For everybody, we want to be preparing your heart, okay? And these three first things, I mean, these could go into, if you're describing your team, you say, hey guys, we're going to be a prepared team. That means I'm going to be prepared, you're going to be prepared, and all of us are going to be prepared in our hearts, right? That's going to be a great describing factor of your team, I hope, a characteristic. With this tip, I want to emphasize the significance of personal heart prep before leading worship. And again, we're all worship leaders. Spend time in prayer, seeking God's guidance and helping to align your heart with the message of the selected songs. I won't leave it blind. Like on a Thursday rehearsal, I'll say like, hey, you know, Pastor Darrell, Pastor Nate's there, we're in Romans 8, and we're talking about suffering. So we're singing about this week. And guys, to this weekend, let's be praying. As we were getting your music ready, let's be praying for the services. Let's be praying for our own hearts as we seek to lead. You know, just, you can just prompt those things easily. Okay. This is going, 1 second here. I'm lost where I am. Pause. Yeah. Reflect now. Add these into your daily rhythms. Do you spend more time preparing your music than your heart? I suspect many of you guys are talented musicians. We could probably set up instruments here. You guys could probably pull it off, right? Pretty fast. You guys could pull it off pretty fast. But it's dangerous to try and pull off heart readiness, because it may work in the short term, although often not. But in the long term, it can prove to be frail and fall apart. So I encourage you, don't abandon the music practice time, but certainly lead into time with God as you prepare your heart. But I've been chatting for a bit. How do you guys, is there something that comes to mind when you think about preparing your heart? Are there regular rhythms you guys have in light of worship leading that you help for yourself or for your teams to prepare your hearts?
One thing that Naomi's done really well is she started doing devotions at the beginning of our worship team. So once everybody's in, it's kind of like kick quiet down. Everybody comes sit down. Yep. She leads us in a devotion. She kind of picks a different book that we go through, and then she asks how she'd be praying for us. And it's been really beneficial. We get the tech team. Well, we try to get the tech team to come down and pray with us too, to encourage one team at
a time. Yeah, that's huge. That's great.
Sometimes they can take 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Unity and helps everyone
kind of get out.
Yeah.
It's been received really well by our
That's great. That's awesome. There's a book called As We Gather, and I think it was meant to be done on Sunday mornings before the service starts. And I'm like, I don't know where I'd fit this. But I think it could be adapted. I'd suggest adapting it for like a midweek, rehearsal time. Yeah.
Is that the one that's in the bookshop right now?
I
bought something from the bookshop that sounds exactly like that. So far, it seems like it works on Thursday night.
They asked about some books. I mentioned it.
So I picked it up today.
Yeah,
so far. I read it last night.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. No, it'd be a good one. Yeah, I've got that one. Other ways? Nurturing heart? Okay. Awesome. I've also recently gone through a season of talking with our team about personal worship. So challenging them challenging them on it during each rehearsal for about 5 weeks. So it's like I'm talking about the same thing for 5 weeks. If they're on for every 3 weeks, then if I just do it for 3 weeks, they're going to hear it once. So I just try to do it for a bit, and some of them are going to hear it twice, sometimes three times, but they get it. Just focusing in. But leading your heart is important. I've got a friend who often quotes Psalm 78, 72 when painting a picture of a healthy worship leader. You could say a healthy leader. It said, we read in that verse, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. So there was a heart and hand skills. There was a posture there of prepared leadership and also servanthood. All right, number four. Provide, and I say use, the right tools. So we're going to talk about various tools and resources that can support your rehearsals, support you as leaders and team members in learning your parts. This, at its foundation, includes providing, I'd say, chord charts, lead charts, whatever that is going to be, and clarity on what the arrangement is, a sequence. But beyond those basics, there are great tools available online. These tools can enhance individual preparation, bring clarity to what each team member is to bring to the rehearsal, and foster a more cohesive and polished sound during the services. Not every tool will be helpful by every member. That's something. And I used to get all these tools and be like, you should all be happy with all these tools. And I'd go home with like this bucket. And they'd come back and be like, I like this one, but not this one. I'd be like, oh, you should like that one because that's it. But somebody else come and be like, no, I like this one rather than that. And I found that by giving them a little bit of a variety of tools, that there usually is something for everyone. So some of these have subscriptions and fees, but you could, as you're choosing, you're picking, you're stewarding your budget, however. Planning Center with the services app. Worshipvocalist.com, we don't subscribe right now. We leaned into our vocals for a season, like a year or two, in terms of like, no, we're going to lean into the harmony. We're going to lean into finding your voice and what's head voice, what's chest, what's the mix. We just leaned into knowing your voice and how to use it as an instrument. So that was worshipvocalist.com. Worshiponline.com, great for tutorials. Prime Teams, there's that Prime again, Amazon, no. With Loop Community, we use Tracks. How many people use Tracks on a Sunday? Okay, yeah. And we didn't for years. I asked a friend of mine, I was like, where's the next area for us to grow at Faith? He was at Sanctus Ajax. There we go. And he's like, Matt, I think probably some supporting Tracks might assist you. And you can think of the Tracks as being like, well, then we'll just sound like, I don't have my electric. It's not about the extra sound is supportive. That's true. It fills in the gap, especially the pads. The click and the cues, I find, make leading even easier. And the click, we started with ambient pads, right? Just ambient pads underneath everything. And then we went to click and ambient. Then we went to Tracks with everything. The click made me as a piano player play less. I felt too often when I was leading, I was like, let's go this way, everybody, you know, and the click was very freeing. So anyways, whether you do Tracks or not, I encourage you once in a while, check it, try click if you have your systems. Whatever. I lost my word. There it is. Spotify. The list, this Sunday playlist, that's free. I mean, you can do an Apple Music if you want or whatever. And it's so easy, so quick just to change. This week we're doing these three songs. You remove the ones that are in the playlist. You add new ones. And in your notes to your team members, you go, just P.S., you guys follow our Spotify, this free, you know, playlist and listen to it before you're leading. It'll just prepare your hearts. Does anyone, we don't do this anymore. We did for a little bit. But does anybody make recordings of the rehearsals and make them available to the team? We did, and it was more work than. So we'll move on from that one. Don't you can try it if you want, but we do. One thing that has helped. Here's something. When we figure out like an alto part that maybe is helpful, we might take out a phone and do like a voice memo, and then attach it to the song in Planning Center and call it alto. So that's been helpful. So a vocalist can click on that and just listen to the part for. Part of the song, right? But team members, you don't have to wait for the leaders to give you all the tools. You've got YouTube, and it can be a pit of, you know, that maybe bad advice, but there's also some good stuff on there. Oftentimes, the tricky part is you have to transpose it. There might be tools out there now where you can enter a link in and transpose the song. I'm not sure, but I know Planning Center has a built-in tool for that. But anyways, you can. The main thing is, with a little bit of effort, you can also find some amazing tools online yourself. You'll favor some tools of the other over the other. That's okay. As I said, some of my team in my context, they love worshiponline.com. The vocalists love worshiponline.com because it has vocal examples. Some of the drummers do. Some of the drummers like, I don't like that, you know, and they like getting the Prime app and playing that with the tracks. It helps me to be able to say what to play because I just simply play. If they're using the track for Prime, I'm like, just play that. Like, go ahead. Like that's, well, you want to try something creative? I have one drummer who likes to swing everything. He's like, can I swing it? And no, we're not going to swing. We're not going to swing this song. It's not going to jazz everything up. So, anyways, the next thing is, oops, I did not put that. There's the tool slide. Sorry, guys.
Can you ask a quick question for me?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, are you
still going through? I will quickly because I missed some slides. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about the backing tracks. Yes. How do you manage, like, we just started using them.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's, like, an anxiety about if you miss a cue.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're toast.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So how do you deal with that technically?
So the first, so all of them, oh, okay, like, it happens? Like, you missed it and you're off?
Well, no, we by the grace of God,
pull it off.
I missed the first word on the verse, yeah. And I realized it, yeah. So I kept, you know, I skipped a bunch of words and just kept,
yeah,
picked right,
yeah,
back up. Yeah. But if I would have missed it, but yeah, even like,
how to stop? How to make it not? Yeah. So, So you want some? Obviously, somebody's running it. Who runs it in your team?
Our drummer was running it.
Yep. So, you teach them. And what tool do you use? Do you use loop or multi-tracks or just Ableton?
What he was using, he just had on his MacBook.
Okay, so maybe Ableton or Prime. So any of those usually will have a fade-out button. Okay. So if the person controlling it knows where the fade-out button is, okay, and where the stop button is,
okay,
then that's the most basic instructions is I'll say to like our keyboardists when they're learning it, is okay, like if we go off... Like we go, like I give you the look, like we're off. Like we, yeah, you hit fade, which allows the music, and the band kind of has to cope for a second as the tracks fade away quietly.
Yeah.
And then hit stop, and we'll survive till the end of the song.
Because
right, probably you can pull off the rest of the song, right?
Right?
Yeah. I also have, if I'm leading in some contexts, I have a pedal board as well, so I can, yes, I can trigger it with looper. They have a tool that clicks and, yep, commands it,
yep,
and then there's a volume pedal. So I'll just fade down the volume and then stop it. Yeah.
Okay.
More and more, you won't do it. It's just you're right. Some of the cues are like too fast. You can't hear what the person just said. Yeah. 6-8 times is horrible because it's like, yeah. So well, you're.
I think actually that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, these were the ones I mentioned: Planning Center Services, Worship Vocalist. Okay, you can ask me about these after, sure. Worship Online. These are awesome for learning different parts. It'll be like, here's your alto part, here's your tenor part, here's the lead. That's the loop. That's the app we use for loops, for tracks. Spotify. All right. Are there? Yeah, but any other tools are you guys using? What kind of tools are you guys using that were not mentioned? You guys are like, no, we hit them all. All right, number five here. Clear expectations. Again, we're talking about the why behind our 10 tips for great rehearsal. Clear expectations will help you a lot. Share this one when people join the team. So ahead of them joining, at the audition, and remind the team regularly. We have it written on our application form for the worship team, and we chat at the audition. Clearly communicate the rehearsal times. So they know when the rehearsal is. They know there's a rehearsal, right? They know when rehearsal is. Some of the contacts, they know where rehearsal is. Is there an expectation that everyone on the band, vocals, attends the rehearsal ahead of a Sunday? My suggestion is that there should be, with some grace. One of my vocalists said this week, she's like, I can't make Thursday, can I do Sunday? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. If a pattern develops, then it's a conversation, right? Really, anything needed for the team members to properly prepare for the rehearsal. So in the context of faith, we mirror the song's familiar parts. So if there's a keyboard, guitar arrangement that is known, and I said this is Amazing Grace earlier, we go with that. So if you think of this as Amazing Grace, there's like, na-na-na-na-na-na, we're going to do that at faith. You know, it's some weird acoustic night where we're just like creating different arrangements. No, just so they know we're going to play that. There's musicians who have worked on this. They've done a lot of work on it. We're going to stand on their shoulders for this, and we're going to do that. It gives clarity to the team. That doesn't always. New team members. I've had some piano players come on who are amazing, like improvisationalists. What is the word for that? But when they're improvising on top of the tracks and on top of the rest of the band, it's like actually distracting, and there's that distraction problem. Okay, and that so it doesn't always work in a band context to band context to improvise in this in a worship space. Behavior on and off the stage. This is again about clear expectations. There's a stewardship of integrity involved. This obviously delves beyond rehearsal, but it's good to be reminded, okay? So I had a drummer years ago. No one in the room would know this person's because I say years ago, who came on and was on team for a little bit. And one night after rehearsal, asked for a ride home from a staff member. And like, yeah, no problem. Drove home and dropped him. And on the conversation was, well, I live with my girlfriend here. It's just up here around the corner. And the staff member saved me a conversation. Said, hey, that's a little weird that you're living with your girlfriend. It just became this, and he knew the drummer's like, yeah, I know. And Matt talked to me, but okay, I got it. So he stepped off team. I've had others who for seasons have stepped off team. I don't think in production we've had to ask people to step off team, but it's as I'll say this: a clarity on your expectations up front. Makes those difficult conversations later easier. So if you've been very clear about those expectations up front, it makes the later discussions way clearer, or the problems go away on their own because they're aware of the problem. Okay? So time matters as I rush to get this done. No, time matters. Stress the importance of starting and ending rehearsals on time. This demonstrates respect for everyone's schedules and enables efficient use of the allocated rehearsal time. Promptness, guys, is so important. If they're late, you're saying that your time is more valuable than your teammates' time, which is not. So never wait for late. The best thing you can do on a Sunday morning when they walk in 5 minutes late, you guys are already started praying, or you're halfway through the call to the opening song, like you know. I wouldn't, if I was late and had to walk up through the band to get to my spot, I'd be like, oh my word, let's just know. Like if someone says I'm going to be late, that's real. But if I wouldn't do it twice myself, but that's the value of wait. And that will erode. I've had team members who were frustrated. Some of them, they would go and talk to others. So again, it's solid. When you build it into your culture, they'll talk to each other about it. They'll be like, hey, you were late. You don't really... You know, me and my wife, we get our two kids up and get here for 10 to 8, so we're 10 minutes early. You roll in at 8:20 by yourself, it would really help us if you know. Again, I don't think you have to have many of those conversations before it's fixed. Nurture community. That's number 7. Use some of your rehearsal time to show the community matters. And as mentioned back here about praying for one another, it's like huge. Even just remembering that it's, you know, if it's someone's birthday, get it on your iPhone, like on your calendar. They put your team's count on there. If it's something's happening with their kid, or you see on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, that their daughter was in a swim competition, and how did it go? You know, like just be interested. Don't have to fake it. Like be interested in your team members, and your team members who you lead, and your co-team. Okay. Encourage team members to spend time together outside of rehearsals, fostering fellowship and building relationships. So this, I try to dot a lot of different ways for this. Usually I've had more success during rehearsals than outside of rehearsals because I do all this planning and then like 40% come. You know, it's like, we only do one or two a year. So, but nurturing community through the rehearsal time has been a lot more easier, I'd say, more effective. Encourage feedback. Okay, leadership is not a one-way street. So be ready and open in your rehearsals to hear from your team members. Okay, that could be like, hey, what if we tried this, right? What if we did this? What if we did that? That's a necessary conversation. That fostering a collaborative environment honestly promotes growth and improvement. And again, it's a teamwork. It reinforces the teamwork side of things. But here's something though, and you can communicate this team in different ways. Rehearsal is an open time for suggestions. Sunday morning's not. It's the worst when you're leading a song and then someone who wasn't at rehearsal on Thursday night says, you know what would be awesome is if we did that again, and this time let's jazz it up. And it's like, oh, like, no. And you can just say, I encourage you, if there's suggestions on Sunday morning, we're like, hey, you know what? We could have chatted about that on rehearsal night, but not this morning. But that's a good idea. Hey, that's neat. Let's do that next time, you know? Celebrate what you want repeated. What you celebrate, you oftentimes will repeat. There doesn't need to be much more explaining for that. There's a drummer who has a separate building, and his parents moved him out of the house. He has a little shed down by the lake, and he has his drum set up in there. And he recorded for me on a GoPro him practicing to the track, and it was awesome. We have an Instagram account for a private one for our worship team. And we shared on there going like, hey, here's how this guy is practicing. We're just kind of holding it up high, going, look at it. It's important to practice, everybody. Or pointing out if somebody's learned, they'd be like, our piano player a couple weeks ago played this part that we usually leave to the track, right? It's this high piano part in one of the songs, like Build My Life or something. And she was playing. I'm like, was that the track? She's like, no, I worked on it. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, celebrate it. They'll repeat it, right? Nurture relationship with your production team. This is number 10. Okay. They are an extension of your team. These are two friends of mine. Actually, that's Josh Ankman on the left and Colin Ray on the right there. When they feel like they're a part of your team, because they are, and when they feel like you're interested in them beyond rehearsal and beyond the services, that would make a huge impact in how you all are serving one another. And it's something like I can't do that with every team member, but if everybody on the team is seeking to be relational and a little bit deeper with some people, then that creates an amazing network that's happening. It's a little bit of that do for one what you wish you could do for everybody. You can't invest everything in everyone. Colin on the right there, he's at Muskoka Woods. He's a lead tech there, and he mixes in Faith. He's one of the sound techs. We hang out outside rehearsals. We love to talk about worship production. Too often we get snagged into that discussion. He just has a new microphone. There is, you know. But we talk about family. We talk about faith. We talk about all kinds of stuff. And Colin's great at reminding me that, hey, let's talk about something else, you know, which I love. So I challenge you to think, how's my relationship with my tech team and those on the rest of my team? The bonuses. So we've done the 10. So you got your 10 in there. The bonuses. Number one is rehearse the transitions. I'll just say this. The songs are important to learn. What you're doing between the songs is huge. Something I see with like a lot of youth worship bands when they're starting out, they'll get a song. I was going to say they ace the song. They get the song up to maybe a 7 out of 10 kind of thing. So they got four songs that are 7 out of 10. And again, excellence is not perfection. But those transitions are like you're driving over like train tracks. Like you can't, and you help people lead. So rehearse the transitions. The number of times I've been like, let's do the end of that song into the next one. Okay, that was great. Let's do it again. Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Let's do it one more time. Right? And so it's like you're back. Do the outro and then into the intro first verse. So, okay, do the outro into the, you know. Or if someone's going to read over top of it, let's do that again. And is her mic loud enough? And how are you playing differently because somebody's reading scripture or praying during a song? Okay. Nurture continuous growth. This is speaking to me. I hope it speaks to you. You want to work on your music skills yourself. You want to nurture them. So if you play guitar, take guitar lessons. Or look on YouTube, find a guy who teaches online. There's so many resources for you to grow. You don't have to wait for your leader to give you tools to grow. You yourself grow. And these will alter your rehearsals. They'll alter your worship services, which is the ultimate goal towards bringing glory to God. A couple of little quick bonus things, and then we'll chat. One is, what did I put these in here for? These are some of my team members. Yay. We are blessed because some people from Pioneer Camp, other camps, bring people in from overseas. That fell on the far end, was a drummer with us for a while. He's from Germany. We had a lot of Germans. I don't know why the Germans are coming to Canada, but they're coming to Canada for their gap year or whatever you call it. So it's pretty special to have them for a season. Here we go. Intentional pauses. I sit in staff meetings when the youth and the kidsmen in the spring are like, oh, we got 3 more weeks and then we're done for the summer. And worship keeps rolling, right? So we've actually started putting pauses in the summer. A friend challenged me to it, and I was like, yeah, sounds like a good plan. So July, August, we won't do rehearsals. This year, we didn't do it in January as well. It means, I'm telling you, hey, have rehearsals, and I tell you not to take rehearsals. But if you don't build pauses, you know, the machine will wear out. So you just start ramping up, get your prep done ahead of time, maybe extra music earlier. Help them be ready themselves, okay? Intentional pauses. Sunday mornings, I wanted to mention this briefly, and then we can talk, is like, be ready for Sunday morning, be on time, know what your plan is. I recently was challenged in giveaway responsibility. I recently was challenged by a friend of mine. His name's Alex Fuller. Follow him on Instagram, Fuller Lights. He's like a phenomenal lighting artist. He said to me, he was up for some consulting. He's like, Matt, who do people listen to on Sunday morning? How many contact points did the production team have with you on a Sunday morning? I'm like, well, I just talked to the video director. I talked to the front of house guy. I talked to the service director. He's like, okay, so 3 people. Like, who do you want them to talk to? I was like, well, I think the video director would be better if you talk to service director. Front of house should talk to service director. He's like, well, then how about Sunday morning? And he said, what's the problem on Sunday morning? I said this, and here's the tardiness thing. We keep running out of time. We may start on time, but we're running out of time at the end. He's like, okay. He had tried this at his church in Tucson, and it changed it. So in our context, 8 o'clock is arrival. So 7:30 is production team. First service at 9:15. 7:30 is production. 8 o'clock is worship team arrives. 8:05 is a service director. So now he or she is leading the morning. Service director does a talk through, so not me, not the worship leader. They talk through the whole service. Then they pray. Then the band does a run through, a true run through. So it's not a rehearsal. It's more than a sound check. It's like we're doing the service, but there's no message. If there's a speaker in the middle, usually I'll take that. Okay, yeah. So usually I'll take that, but that's anyways, doing that took the load off of me. People still come to me, but usually now I could just go, no, talk to Tanya, service director. But we also are done early. It's like I thought, because we're actually starting later than we used to start, and we're done earlier than we were on Sunday morning, and therefore we feel more ready for rehearsal. All right, cool. I want to finish it there. That's contact stuff. I think it's on your phone too. Certainly reach out if you have questions. But do you guys have any questions as we have a little 5 minutes left? Anything? Yeah.
So in regards to vocalists,
yeah.
For one, everybody and their brother thinks they can sing.
Yep.
Which is okay when you go through the rehearsals and stuff, or the tryouts, and
yeah.
And like we discover that yeah, they can sing okay. Yeah. But then I find that a lot of people can't do the harmonizing.
Yeah,
they can only do the melody, and
yeah.
So
yeah.
Like this is where I run into trouble, right? Because
yeah.
If I'm leading. Singing, I don't need them to sing the same part I'm singing. So how do we develop that in them, or get them to the point where they think they can sing harmony? Because some of them, like, you're like, can you try singing harmony? It's like, I don't do harmony.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know. The one, so, and I asked them in, so if they can't harmonize at all in the audition, I'm talking like I'm not great at harmonizing. But I think maybe I can pull off. Give me something. Like, there it is. Okay, there. Yeah. If they can't harmonize at all, I'd be like, I'm just not sure. That might be an area for you to grow. Could I schedule something with you in 4 months, and here's a resource for you to grow with?
And what resource?
Well, I'm wondering about worship vocalist. I can't remember if she has things specific. I'm positive she has stuff on harmony in there. But without me knowing an example, I would look online and find a great YouTube video that's like, you know, or a series of them that are like short. You're not expecting them to take a college course,
right?
And do that. If they do come on team and they're weak in harmony, I put them most new vocalists, especially the ones who are younger. I'm getting a lot of youth who are coming in. They usually I put them alongside somebody who is stronger and been on team for a while, and I'll tell them you can sing the same part as Lindsay. In fact.
Okay.
sing the same part as Lindsay, and I actually sing the exact same part as Lindsay,
because
I don't want you to, like, you know, slight variations.
Right.
And then there are I have one person who is really hard, and I think she wants to once in a while she'll pull it off and be like, wow. But if she's melody matching me, I'll tell her when to sing and when not to sing.
Right.
Or when to be on microphone, I should say.
But again, if she, like, female singing lead and male singing lead together isn't as bad as two females singing
lead
together.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
It still sounds different when
yeah,
it's male
totally
and female
different.
Singing
yeah,
lead.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a training. If people are on team already, then I wish I had an example to give you a tool for that. I mean, it might be worse. It might be worship vocalist. And run them for a season at that. It's the same conversation you could have with a bass player who... I used to have a bass player who left his bass guitar at the church, which told me that he didn't practice. Right? So he doesn't anymore.
Right.
And if the vocalist is leaving their bass guitar at the church, then, you know, that'd be a conversation. This might be a place for you to grow.
Yeah.
Right? But it comes down to that clarity of coming in. And I'm bad for it. I had one person, I had somebody come on board, and they were not strong. And I was like, it'll be okay. I'll put them next to Barb, and Barb will bring them along. And eventually Barb's just like, and thankfully, again, that person actually, she went into a, we were at a seminar similar to this a long time ago, and she went into a seminar that was talking about having awkward conversations with team members. And she's sitting at the back, and she's like, I went into that accidentally. And then I'm sitting back there, and I'm like, oh. And she came and talked to us at the conference. She's like, I don't think I should be on team anymore. And we were like, that's okay. Like, yeah. Yeah.
We got time for one more.
Yeah.
Can I just speak to that?
Yep. Yeah.
Multiple female melodies?
Because yeah.
I bet everybody in this room deals with the same thing. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll pair up like a weaker, like, because sometimes there's a stronger and a weaker melody, so I'll pair up two who I know can kind of function within a similar pitch. Otherwise, for me, like, I'll just say, hey, like, I have lots of strong melody singers. I'll say, you just take the melody, and I sing harmony behind that. And I can still even do that, and I'm really happy to do that.
That's awesome.
And it's a way to keep them involved.
Yep.
Naomi does that as well. She'll
awesome.
Sing the harmony and let me sing the melody.
That's awesome. Yay!
Yeah. But sometimes I find, too, that they're just not strong melody singers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they can stay on pitch. They're, you know, it's not a problem that way. It's in terms of, I am confident in what I'm singing. I'm, you know, I can lead you in this. Like, I'm not waiting for the congregation to sing, I think. You know what I mean?
All right, so we're going to call it there. You can ask Matt questions afterwards. I'm sure he'll be here for the next 5 hours answering
five
your
hours.
Questions. But can we just show our appreciation for Matt?
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Awesome. And reach out if you have any other questions. I love connecting, so it's great.
Yeah.